And my dearly beloved in Christ, when one of the Fatima children, Lucia, asked Our Lady the fate of an 18-year-old girlfriend, the Mother of God said, "She'll be in purgatory until the end of the world." Okay, so that was like 1917. She's already been there over 100 years, and the world isn't over yet. This revelation shocked the children. How could their neighbor girlfriend, who's only 18, be suffering in purgatory until the end of the world? What could she have done? While the Dominican Venerable Stanislaus Czaskowska of Poland was praying the rosary, a soul from purgatory appeared to him enveloped in flames. As she besought him to have pity on her and to alleviate the intolerable suffering which the fire of divine justice caused her to endure, the holy man asked if this fire was more painful than that of earth. "Ah," she cried, "all the fires of earth compared to that of purgatory are like a refreshing breeze." Stanislaus could scarcely believe it. He said, "I wish to have proof. If God will permit for your relief and for the good of my soul, I consent to suffer a part of your pains." "Alas, you cannot do this. Know that no human being can endure such torment and live. However, God will permit you to feel in a light degree. Stretch forth your hand." Stanislaus extended his hand, and the departed let fall a drop of sweat, or at least a liquid which resembled it. At the same instant, the religious uttered a piercing cry and fell fainting on the ground. So frightfully intense was the pain. When restored to consciousness, he related the terrible event which had occurred, of which they had had a visible proof. "Alas, my fathers," he continued, "if you knew the severity of the divine chastisement, we would never commit sin. Nor should we cease to do penance in this life in order to avoid expiation in the next." Stanislaus was confined to bed from that moment. He lived 1 year longer, the most cruel suffering caused by his terrible wound. Then for the last time, exhorting his brothers to remember the rigors of divine justice, he peacefully died. Let us remember that many souls in purgatory barely made it in, because although they committed many sins, they had someone praying for them. If not, they would have been condemned to hell. But at least they're there paying the price of their sins. Tragically, many, many others never make it in because they're condemned to hell forever. My dearly beloved in Christ, in this life we have a very limited knowledge of God, but the poor souls in purgatory have a much clearer view of his goodness, mercy, and love, because nothing impedes the liberty of their souls. Their souls yearn for God and thirst for union with him, but are repulsed because they're not sufficiently pure. This is the worst suffering of purgatory. St. John Chrysostom said, "Imagine all the torments of the world. You will not find one equal to the privation of the vision of God." While on earth we can only imperfectly picture who God really is, but the poor souls in purgatory understand and know him as he is because their souls have been freed from the distractions and sins that prevented them from realizing the holiness, majesty, and mercy of God. An irresistible force draws them toward God, but at the same time another force repulses them until they have atoned for the temporal punishment due to their sins. Nevertheless, although the poor souls in purgatory suffer much more than they did on earth, they're in peace because they know someday they will leave and will enter heaven, so that makes them feel a little better. They do not murmur or rebel against God, but are conformed to his will. St. Mary Magdalene of Pazzi saw them endure their intense pain with joy. She told her superior, "Never could I have believed it had not God manifested it to me. And nevertheless, I cannot call them cruel. Rather, they are advantageous, since they lead to the ineffable bliss of paradise." The Council of Trent taught that there is a purgatory, and the souls that are detained can be helped by the prayers of the faithful, especially by the holy sacrifice of the Mass. St. Augustine stated, "One of the holiest works One of the best exercises of piety that we can practice in this world is to offer sacrifice, alms, and prayers for the dead. Our Lord regards every work of mercy exercised toward our neighbor is done to himself. This is especially true of charity towards the poor souls in purgatory. It was revealed to St. Bridget that he who delivers a soul from purgatory has the same merit as if he delivered Christ from his captivity. My dearly beloved in Christ, I recommend that we assist the poor souls in purgatory and prepare our own souls for a speedy entrance into heaven by doing the following. First, frequent and devout attendance at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Have Mass offered for your departed friends and relatives. Second, frequent confession and Holy Communion. Third, daily recitation of the Rosary. Fourth, pray the Stations of the Cross. Fifth, reception of the extreme unction when in danger of death. St. Thomas Aquinas calls it an immediate anointing for glory. And St. Albert the Great said, because it takes away every vestige of sin. In other words, the temporal punishment due to our sins if we were properly disposed. Extreme unction makes possible the immediate entrance into heaven. And then sixth, perform acts of penance and self-denial, like we give up meat on Friday, but there's other things we can do. Seven, offer up to God our crosses and sufferings. Eight, practice true devotion to Mary, as taught by St. Louis Marie de Montfort. And then faithfully wear the scapular. You gain 500 days indulgence by kissing the brown wool part of your scapular. Not the picture, but the brown wool. In the 14th century, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to Pope John the 22nd and promised to deliver from purgatory the Saturday after death those who fulfill a few conditions. Now, we started with the story of that lady who was in purgatory till the end of the world. Let's say she had gained this 17 privilege. She followed these conditions, and she would have been in heaven within a week. The conditions are, first, to be enrolled in the brown scapular, which we'll do after Mass. Second, to practice chastity according to one's state in life. And third, to perform some practice in honor of Mary. These include the recitation of the divine office for those who are bound to it, you know, like I am, or the little office of the Blessed Virgin Mary. One may substitute the daily recitation of the rosary for the office. For those who cannot read, they must faithfully observe the fast and abstinence of the church and abstain from Wednesday and Saturday. One of the easiest ways to avoid purgatory is the use of indulgence prayers. Many of the indulgence prayers of the church are found in prayer books, especially the Rakulta. Since the book is a collection of indulgence prayers, it's called Rakulta, the Italian word for meaning collection. I highly recommend this book. What is an indulgence? The English word indulgence comes from the Latin word verb, indulgere, which means to do a favor or to be kind. In Roman law, it meant a release from prison or from punishment. It is in this sense that the Catholic Church employs the term. The Baltimore Catechism describes an indulgence as a remission of temporal punishment due to sins already forgiven in confession, granted by the Church from her spiritual treasury. Indulgences apply to both the living and the faithful departed, and they apply the infinite satisfaction paid by Christ as well as the superabundant satisfaction wrought by Our Lady and the saints. In the early Church, penances given were far more severe than today. So in other words, if you went to confession a long, long time ago, you'd get a much heavier penance, and I'll explain. When a person went to confession, they were sometimes given public penances to make reparation for their sins. These included severe fast, wearing sackcloth and ashes, etc. For breaking the Sabbath, a person was required to fast 3 days on bread and water. And for talking in church, a fast of 10 days on bread and water. A penance of 3 to 10 years were imposed for disobedience. A penance of 10 years for adultery, and of a lifetime for murder. In addition, such penances were excluded from church are made to stand at the door in penitential garb. Notorious sinners had to beg outside the church for months or even years. For grave offenses, people are obliged to fast on bread and water for as long as 7 years. A 40-day fast was imposed for less serious offenses. The church then approved indulgences as a way to atone for the temporal punishment due to sins by prayers and good works without having to endure the extreme penances required earlier. There are two types of indulgences, plenary and partial. A plenary indulgence remits all the temporal punishment due to sin. In other words, if you fulfilled all the conditions for a temporal punishment and you died, you would go straight to heaven. A partial indulgence remits part of the temporal punishment due to sin. Let me give you only one example of how our indulgence prayers are equivalent to some of the severe penances of the early church. The prayer, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, carries a 7 years indulgence for reciting it. The church made this equivalent to the temporal punishment remitted by God for 7 years of severe canonical penance required earlier. Remember we said somebody would have to fast on bread and water for 7 years? Okay, by saying Jesus, Mary, Joseph, you can gain that same amount of merit. This holds true for all the time periods attached to indulgence prayers. Sometimes there's so many days, 300 days, 500 days, etc. A quarantine is 40 days. What are the conditions necessary to gain indulgence? First, you have to be in the state of grace, free from mortal sin. 2, perform the good work, recite the prayers, etc. 3, if the indulgence prayer is a vocal prayer, such as the Divine Office, the Rosary, the Our Father, etc., you must move your lips while praying. You could be very quiet. It's like when I'm praying my Divine Office, I have to mouth the words, but I don't have to say it out loud. It disturbs other people in church. Indulgences, and the same with our penance when we go to confession, we should say it vocally, even if it's very quiet. Indulgence is attached to our aspirations. In other words, like that prayer, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, can be gained even by reciting them mentally. In other words, you don't have to move your lips or do anything out loud. 4, intend to gain the indulgence. In order to gain a plenary indulgence, you must go to confession, receive Holy Communion, and visit a church within 8 days. And then the prayer for the intentions of the Sovereign Pontiff is also required to gain a plenary indulgence. This has nothing to do with Francis or anything else. I'll explain. The intentions of the Holy Father for which one is to pray are the exaltation of the Church, the propagation of the faith, ending of heresy and schism, conversion of sinners, peace and harmony among Christian rulers and nations, and other blessings for the welfare of Catholicism. It suffices to have a general intention to pray for the Pope or the Church. You do not have to remember all these intentions. All that's required is that you mentally make this intention. What the popes wanted you to pray for, then you just mentally want to do that. In many cases, we pray for the intentions of the Holy Fathers of the past by reciting an Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be, as we do after praying the Stations of the Cross. But it's not limited to just that. You could say another prayer. The Rosary is a highly indulgenced prayer that benefits both us and the poor souls in purgatory. Those who piously recite 5 decades of the Rosary in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament may gain a plenary indulgence on condition of confession and Holy Communion. So if you come early for Mass, and then you're in church, and you pray the Rosary, and you're in the state of grace, you want to attain the indulgence, etc., you can take away all your purgatory time just by praying that Rosary, it says, piously. Those who recite 5 decades of the Rosary with devotion gain an indulgence of 5 years. They gain a plenary indulgence on the usual conditions if they do this for an entire month. So if you say the Rosary every single day, you get a plenary indulgence, whether you're in church or not. There are many true stories of souls in purgatory who have given visible proof of the intensity of the suffering there by leaving a burning imprint of their hands on a door or table. In Foligno, Italy, There's a door marked in this way by the departed soul of a Franciscan, Sister Teresa Gesta, which is still preserved. This is how the incident occurred. Sister Teresa entered the convent in 1826 and was a model of fervor and charity. After serving as mistress of novices and sacristan, she died suddenly of a stroke. 12 days later, Sister Anna Felicia, who had replaced her, heard moans coming from the sacristy. She looked inside and immediately recognized Sister Teresa, who said, "Oh, how I suffer." She then related that her sufferings were because, while fulfilling her sacristan duties, she had not observed the strict poverty required by the Franciscan rule. Then the room was filled with a thick smoke, and the spirit of Sister Teresa appeared, moving towards the door, gliding along by the wall. Having reached the door, she cried aloud, "Behold, a proof of the mercy of God." Saying these words, she struck the upper panel of the door, and there left the print of her right hand burnt in the wood as with a red-hot iron. She then disappeared. Shortly afterwards, all the sisters of the convent came to the sacristy, where they observed the strong odor of burnt wood, the impression on the door, and the mark made by Sister Teresa's hand, which was remarkably small. The Franciscan sisters, together with the other religious communities in the city, offered prayers and sacrifices for the repose of Sister Teresa's soul. 3 days later, she again appeared to Sister Anna Felicia, saying, "I enter into eternal glory. Be strong to bear the cross. Be courageous to suffer. Love poverty." Then she became transfigured, and like a light, white, and dazzling cloud, rose toward heaven and disappeared. During the investigation, which was held immediately in the presence of a large number of witnesses, a tomb of Sister Teresa was opened, and the impression upon the door was found to correspond exactly with the hand of the deceased. Thus we see divine justice punishes most severely the slightest faults. It may be here asked why the apparition, when leaving the mysterious mark on the door, called it a proof of the mercy of God. It is because in giving us a warning of this kind, God shows us great mercy. He urges us in the most efficacious manner to assist the poor suffering souls and to be vigilant in our own regard. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.